Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jai Hu Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Gopinana Malava Yidi Bharadhahuti Gopijana Malava Yidi Bharadhahuti Yasoda Nandana Vraja Jana Ranjana Yasoda Nandana Vraja Jana Ranjana Jamuna Tira Manachalti Yamuna te Ravana Chaguti Jai Hurad Humatva Kunja Bihati Joy Radha Madhava Kunja Bihati Gopijana Madhava Yidivaru Dhahuti Gopi Janabalaba Yidivaru Dhahuti Yasoda Dandana Praja Jano Ranjanha Yasoda Dandana Praja Jano Ranjana Jamuna Tira Manachalti Yamuna Tira Manachalti Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jai Om Vishnupad Paramahansa Paravritakacharya Also Tato Sutashi Shimat His Divine Grace Abhaya Chananara Bhaktivananda Goswami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Iskan Founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Anandakoti Vaishnavrindakajai Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Jai Prem se kaho Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shidwaita Gadadha Shivasati Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai Sri Sri Radhakrishna Gopi Gopinath Shyam Kunda Radhakunda Giri Govardhan Kijai Vrindavanam Kijai Maturam Kijai Jagratasami Kijai Yamunamai Kijai Shivani Lasi Devi Kijai Samaveda Bhakta Vrindi Kijai Gaur Premananda Hari Hari Bo. All glories the assembled devotees. All glories the assembled devotees. All glories the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Gauranga Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. So we are reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto, 20th chapter, texts 30 to 31. We're just going to do 30 responsively. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Shadvalopari Sangvisha Charvato Amilitekshanam Triptan Vrishan Vatsataran Gascha Svodho Mora Shamaha Shadvalopari Sangvisha Charvato Milelekshanam Triptan Rishan Vatsataran Gascha Svoldo Varashamaha Shadvalopari Sangvisha Charvato Militekshanam Triptan Vrishan Vatsataran Gascha Svoldo Varashamaha Jadvalopari Sangvisha Torvato Militekshanan Triptan Vrishan Vatsataran Gascha Svoldo Varashamaha. Okay.
Gascha Svoldo Varashamaha.
Alrighty, and I'm just going to read the Sanskrit for the next text, which is included with this text, and then we'll go on to the word-by-word synonyms. Pravritsriyam chitam viksha sarvakala sukhavaham bhagavan pujayam chakre atma shakyupa brimhitam. So you can repeat. Ashadvala, a grassy patch. Upari, upon. Sangvisha, sitting. Charvataha, who were grazing. Mirata, closed. Ikshanan, their eyes. Triptan, satisfied. Rishan, the bulls. Vatsataran, the calves. Gaha, the cows. Cha, and. Sva, their own. Udhaha, of the milk bags. Bara, by the weight. Shamaha, fatigued. Pravrit, of the rainy season. Shriyam, the opulence. Cha, and. Tam, that. Viksha, seen. Sarvakala, always. Sukha, pleasure. Avaham, giving. Bhagavan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Pujayam, chakre, honored. Atmashakti, from his internal potency. Upabrimhitam, expanded. So translation, Lord Krishna watched the contented bulls, calves, and cows sitting on the green grass and grazing with closed eyes. And he saw that the cows were tired from the burden of their heavy milk bags. Thus observing the beauty and opulence of Vrindavana's rainy season, a perennial source of great happiness, the Lord offered all respect to that season, which is expanded from his own internal potency. So you could repeat. Lord Krishna watched the contented bulls, calves and cows, sitting on the green grass and grazing with closed eyes. And he saw that the cows were tired from the burden of their heavy milk bags. Thus observing the beauty and opulence of Vrindavan's rainy season, a perennial source of great happiness, the Lord offered all respect to that season, which is expanded from his own internal potency. So the purport by the servants of his divine grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, the lush beauty of the rainy season in Vrindavan is meant to enhance the pleasure pastimes of Sri Krishna, thus to set the scene for the Lord's loving affairs. His internal potency makes all the arrangements described in this chapter. So Jiva Goswami's commentary, he saw the cows, bulls, and calves sitting on green pastures with eyes closed, ruminating. Charvataha. The season was surcharged with the Ladini Shakti, Atma Shakti, which made the season qualified for his pastimes. He considered the season proper, Pujiyam Chakre. So, Unmata Shiki Sarange Tasmin Kale Mahavane Krishna Krishna Ramao Muda Yuktao Gopalais Charatu Saha Kvichid Gopi Saman Ramyam Gayatala Rata Bhuvau Charatu Kvachit Atyaratam Shita Vriksha Tala Shutau Kvachit Kadamba Shrak Chitrao Mayura Shrag Virajitao. Viliptal kvachit asatam vividar giri datu bihi. Parnashayasu sam suptau kvachin nidrantara shinau. Kvachit garajati ji mukte haha kara rabakulau. Surrounded by coward boys, Krishna and Balaram wandered in the large forest during the monsoon, filled with impassioned peacocks and chaklika birds. Sometimes they would sing as they wandered in the forest made beautiful by the cows. They would sit at the bases of cool trees. They were decorated in kadamba garlands and garlands made of peacock feathers. Sometimes they would decorate themselves with various minerals from the mountains. Sometimes they would sleep on beds made of leaves, and after sleep they would desire to play again. Sometimes when the clouds rumbled, they would shout. And that's actually from the Vishnu Purana, not from the Bhagavatam. 5:6:44-47, some nectar there. And Sanatana Goswami, he has an elaborate purport here. He also quotes the same thing. And so I'll skip that Sanskrit portion, but I'll read the English. He saw the cows ruminating in the beauty of the season. The animals were sitting because they were satisfied, triptan. During the monsoon, there was plentiful soft grass everywhere. In one place, in one moment, they could fill their stomachs. The word cha indicates the whole group. They sat near Krishna. The cows also sat because their udders were full. The cows and bulls are mentioned because they were in the majority. But buffaloes were also present. He saw the beauty of the monsoon with the forest, which was previously described, Tom. Or he saw the beauty of the monsoon, which was indescribable, Tom. Beauty of the monsoon means beauty of the forest, deer, and buffaloes in the monsoon season. And there's some Sanskrit. A spotless line of cranes shone on the surface of the cloud. The well-bred were splendid, and the wicked were futile in their actions. That's from the Vishnu Purana again. The monsoon season was filled with the Lord Shakti in the form of time. Phew, this made it different. Time serves the Lord. Or though it was filled with his own powers, Atma Shakti Upabrimhitam, he praised it with affection, or he thought it excellent because it gave happiness to all beings continuously. Instead of Shuka, sometimes Muda is seen with the same meaning. Or one may worry that the swans would be suffering. The season was endowed with the Lord's power so that even they were happy. Other pastimes are described by Parashara. I better turn that off so people don't keep texting me in the middle of class. And actually, that's the same thing that Jiva Goswami mentioned. Okay, from the Vishnu Purana. And then, quite a bit to read today. So, Omagana Tumiranda Shah Garanjana Shilakaya Chakshurin Meritam Yena Tasmai Shikarvayat Namaha. Now we're going to read Prabhupada's commentary, which is very interesting because it deals with cows and milk. So interesting. Krishna gave me this particular commentary and translation given my lifestyle. Yeah, two. I know that. There's two verses in here. What's that? I'm speaking about two verses. Yeah, I'm going to speak. No, I won't speak about that. Don't worry. So, after good rains, this is Prabhupada's translation here. After good rains for the grazing ground for the animals was full of green pasture, and both the bulls and cows sat down on the grass fully satisfied. The cows, followed by their calves, appeared tired grazing because of full milk bags. Calmly and quietly, the cows and calves rested and ruminated, chewing their cud. Now, cows actually have three stomachs, in case you haven't figured that out. And cows are not meant for eating most of human food. Like if you feed a cow fried foods, it actually ferments in the middle or the end stomach, and the cow cannot get rid of the fermentation. So cows are meant to eat grass, and also some fruits they can eat. And if they can't get rid of the fermentation, they actually die. they go into something called bloat. And the only way to relieve them of that bloat is basically puncture their, the vet comes and punctures their stomach. So if you have cows, of course, that's what happened to one of our cows here, that her name was Deviani. And the devotees fed her some puris. And because of that, she got bloat and she went down and she passed away. So protection and grazing ground for the cows are among the essential needs for society and the welfare of people in general. The animal fat required for the human body can be well derived from the cow's milk. Cow's milk is very important for human energy, and the economic development of society depends on sufficient food, grains, sufficient milk, and sufficient transportation and distribution of these products. Lord Sri Krishna, by his personal example, taught us the importance of cow protection, which is meant not only for the Indian climate, but for all human beings all over the universe. Let's intelligent people underestimate the value of cow's milk. Cow's milk is also called gorasa, or the juice from the body of the cow. Milk is the most valuable form of gorasa, and from milk, we can prepare many important and valuable foodstuffs for the upkeep of the human body. The killing of cows by human society is one of the grossest suicidal policies, and those who are anxious to cultivate the human spirit must turn their attention first toward the question of cow protection. If we really want to cultivate the human spirit in society, we must have first-class intelligent men to guide the society and to develop the finer tissues of our brains. We must assimilate vitamin values from milk. Devotees worship Lord Sri Krishna by addressing him as the well-wisher of the Brahmins and the cows. The most intelligent class of men who have perfectly attained knowledge and spiritual values are called the Brahmanas. No society can improve in transcendental knowledge without the guidance of such first-class men, and no brain can assimilate the subtle form of knowledge without the fine brain tissues. For such important brain tissues, we'd require a sufficient quantity of milk and milk preparations. Ultimately, we need to protect the cow to derive the highest benefit from this important animal. The protection of cows, therefore, is not merely a religious sentiment, but a means to secure the highest benefit for human society. So I guess I should talk about that, since everybody knows what my diet is. Actually, it is a fact. If you analyze scientifically the constituent parts of cow's milk, you'll see that these constituent parts of cow's milk are necessary for not only developing the brain, but also for the upkeep of the nervous system. And one particular constituent part of the cow's milk I'm referring to right now, and I'll refer to other parts because scientific I should get into, is vitamin B12. Vitamin B12 is actually absolutely essential to basically develop your nerves and your brain. And without it, you're going to develop all sorts of problems. Now, so therefore, someone may ask, so why don't you drink milk? I think I should address that in this particular class. And what are you doing about your brain? I can address both issues. The reason I don't take milk is actually is manyfold. One is because of the cruelty that is part of the milk production in the Western world, and also in India for the most part. And personally, I have some, these are just my personal, ethical, I guess you might call them emotional reasons that I couldn't partake of something that entails so much cruelty towards Krishna's most dear animal. Actually, Prabhupada here says one should turn his attention first towards the question of cow protection. So cow protection, first of all, before you even start to protect the cow, you should stop exploiting the cow and harming the cow. And then you may say, what am I doing toward, for cow protection? Well, preaching Krishna consciousness means that we're going to encourage people to become vegetarians and ultimately, you know, develop some programs for cow protection. And of course, these programs for cow protection are few and far in between, at least in North America, because it's very hard to find people who are willing to take care of cows. I mean, taking care of cows is like having a child, and it means basically if you're taking care of a cow, you can't go anywhere. You're stuck in the same place, and you have to wake up early in the morning, and what do you have to do? Milk the cow, and late at night you have to, not late at night, but in the evening you have to milk the cow. And then cow protection also. The reason being, because I cannot tolerate myself being responsible, at least indirectly, for the cruelty. And another reason is that the milk that's produced by the commercial dairies is actually not that healthy because of the processes they put it through, homogenization and other things. I'm not going to get into the details because these are not, it's not a good subject for Bhagavatam class. In any case, I'm aware of these things, and therefore I supplement my diet with vitamin B12 and also something else that comes from the cows. Like Prabhupada talked about the healthy fat that comes from cows. So that healthy fat is defined as omega-3s, in case someone is interested in looking it up. Omega-3 fatty acids. And these omega-3s, particularly what we call the long chain omega-3s, are actually essential for brain development and everything like that. And I also supplement. So I'm well aware of this. What Prabhupada said, I'm not arguing with Prabhupada or against what Prabhupada is saying, but for different reasons, especially for the for my own compassion towards animals, I've decided not to partake of store-bought milk. And I will partake of milk that is from protected cows and the indigenous cows of India, like the Desi cows. Desi, of course, means indigenous, you know, land, which Mother Irma pointed that out to me the other day. I know that already. So I will partake of that if I'm in India and a cow is being protected. Anyway, so it's actually a fact, but it's very difficult to do in the Western world right now. Anyway, so then the second verse, Prabhupada translates as, the beautiful scenery of the rainy season was attractive to the eyes, including Sri Krishna, the cause of all causes. And Prabhupada here comments, another long purport, we should always appreciate the creative energy of the Supreme Lord. Beautiful nature, even though material and therefore temporary, is always full of the glories of the Creator. There's a class of philosophers who condemn the material creation as false. They say the Brahman is truth, but the creation is false. This is not good. The temporary creation is also a relative truth. It is, in fact, the temporary picture of the eternal creation. The forgetful soul has no information of the spiritual creation known as the Sanatana Dharma. Sanatana Dhamma, sorry. That means the eternal abode. But the temporary creation gives an idea of this original creation. The devotees of the Lord, therefore, make the best use of the bad bargain by utilizing the temporary creation in the service of the Lord. Everything emanates as different energies from the Lord, and thus everything should be engaged for his service only. As soon as even temporary things are engaged in his service, they take on permanent values. The process of such engagement in the service of the Lord is what the sages called chikit sitam, or well-treated. If we have some kind of trouble in the stomach from drinking milk, the physician prescribes the same milk in the form of yogurt, which is nothing but treated milk. Similarly, the temporary creation of the material world is undoubtedly full of miseries, but when accepted in terms of its relation with the Supreme Lord, the whole thing becomes as well-treated as the yogurt. Everything accepted in full God consciousness has its spiritual value, and by the grace of the Almighty, its material effects are diminished in terms of the increasing degree of spiritual consciousness. That is the process for cultivating the human spirit. So just we have a minute or two. So there's this interesting verse, Avishwam Purna Sukhayate. That means that the devotee actually sees the universe as something very blissful. Now, sometimes the immature devotees, they see the universe in terms of what Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Dukalayama Shashvatam. It's a place of misery, Brahma Bhuvana Loka Punarvartino Arjuna, Mamupecha Dukantiya Purna Jamanda Vijate, as Krishna also states in the Gita, from the highest place to the lowest place, all places of misery, where repeated birth and death takes place. Of course, the advanced devotee doesn't argue with that, but the advanced devotee, for himself, he sees the universe as something very wonderful. Now, why is he seeing the universe as something wonderful? Well, it's a manifestation of the Lord's energies. That's the first point. And even more important, he sees that this illusory energy is a manifestation of the Lord's compassion. The word maya can sometimes be translated as mercy, as well as energy, as well as illusion. Now, sometimes we say to people, you're in maya, Prabhu. So that's a fact. Everyone's in maya, even the pure devotee. The pure devotee, of course, is under the jurisdiction of Krishna's internal potency. Internal potency of the Lord. And so that's yoga maya. And the rest of us are under the jurisdiction of Krishna's external potency, which is called Mahamaya. So everybody's in maya. As we were describing in Bhagavatam, and we read in Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, sorry, that everybody is serving Krishna. Everybody is serving Krishna either directly through his voluntary service or indirectly through his illusory energy. So anyway, so a pure devotee or those who are advanced in devotional service think that this mature world is blissful. Now, why is it blissful and why is it a manifestation of the Lord's compassion? Because of the reason behind the material world. And that's called in philosophy teleology, the study of purposes. If you understand the purpose of the material world, the purpose of the material world, of course, is to rectify the conditioned souls and to bring them back to their right consciousness. And then it's a very nice place. And even the punishments, even the suffering, oh my God, sorry about this. But even the suffering in this world, of course, we don't want to see anyone suffer, but even the suffering has a purpose. It's not that Krishna is some mean old, or not old, he's not mean, mean old God, and as depicted in some Christian tracts, where you have God gloating over the fact that some person made a theological mistake in one lifetime, and he has to suffer, and God is saying, you know, you blew it in this one lifetime, you have to suffer. God is not like that. Everything that happens to someone is actually a manifestation of God's mercy or compassion. So a pure devotee sees like that, that even, you know, all this craziness going on, Kali Yuga. I mean, for example, we were talking last night about how Duryodhana was a demigod, and he was sent down on a mission to create conflict. And the reason that he was sent down on a mission to create conflict, because the demons had taken birth on the earth planet, and Krishna wanted to take care of a lot of the demons in one time. So there was a necessity of this whole battle of Kurukshetra, in which many demoniac persons, kings were kings and kshatriyas were killed. So, you know, so it was arranged. This is Krishna's arrangement. So the battle of Kurukshetra, where so many people were killed, was ecstatic. Sorry about that. Because it was Krishna purifying things. Krishna purifying the individual and Krishna purifying society. So that's how we should see things. And then based on that, we could see that the whole material universe is blissful if we're actually advanced in devotional service and if we're taking shelter of Krishna. So any questions or comments? We got about half a minute left. Yes. I think we should practice seeing it as blissful, see the purpose behind everything. I mean, recognize at the same time, it's giving misery to people. Yes, you can balance both things. You can see, yes, the material world is giving misery, but that misery is a necessary misery, not an unnecessary misery, not a misery that's being given to make people suffer per se, but a misery that's being given to rectify their consciousness. Like often we talk about the different types of justice. there's retributive justice, and retributive means to give pain to a person, retribution, and restorative justice is the other type. So Krishna's system of justice is restorative. And just like you see this depiction of Lady Justice, you know, blind like that, it's not that Krishna is specially favoring one person over another. He's equal to everyone. Samoham sarvabhuteshu name dveshos dinapriha. So no one gets an unfair share of punishment. Sorry. Okay, on that happy note, all glories to His Divine Grace. Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, ki jai.